Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 22 through 24. I thank the Lord for the message that we just heard from 1 John there, and what an encouragement. And you know, just you see this all throughout the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that our lives are really about, you know, the glory of God, reflecting something about His character and His person, and that whole idea of as we love one another, God abiding in us. You know, this opportunity we have to manifest the glory of God through our love for one another. This is just an incredible thought. And we have another one here. This whole idea of submission, reflecting something about the character and nature of Christ here, and this wonderful, beautiful relationship between Christ and His church, and just a great, beautiful illustration. We won't get into a thorough exegesis of this passage this morning, but we'll get started. And let me read there in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Father, thank You for this word, this good word, this perfect treasure of instruction. And Lord, may our people be taught by it and instructed by it and be changed by it. And Lord, may You glorify Yourself through it. And thank You for the wives, Lord, in our church, and the example that many of them set, Lord, as submissive helpers. And Lord, just the way they treat their husbands and the testimony, Lord, that presents to others and to us all. God, a testimony of Christ who was Himself submissive to even the cross, humbling Himself, Lord, to that point. Lord, may we in turn humble ourselves and, Lord, be submissive to one another. But Lord, as we speak specifically about the wife's role in the home, I pray that, God, You would use me as Your instrument of grace, and that the church would be encouraged by the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to talk to you about a wife's role in the home. And I know not all of you are wives, but you know wives, and we have wives in our church. And it's important for us to talk about these kind of things. This is God's first and highest and holiest institution, the home. Before He ever created the church, before He ever Israel ever came into being, before there was any human government, God created the home, and it was very important. God establishes this as a foundational institution for all of culture, for all of society. And He set some things in place, even back there in Genesis, and reaffirms these things on into the New Testament for us today. Praise God, He hasn't left us in the dark, try to figure it out. He created male and female, and He created marriage, and He put it together, and He knows how it works, right? Praise be to God. In responding to traditional gender roles, somebody was teaching on a traditional understanding of gender roles. There was a lady, a Nigerian author, if I can say her name right, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She is a Nigerian author, spoken at places like Harvard University and other places to encourage people against traditional gender roles. A political activist and a part of the Me Too movement. She wrote this, by the way, in her feminist manifesto in 15 suggestions. And here's what she says. Teach her, that's your children, teach her that the idea of gender roles is absolute nonsense. That's what she says. Do not tell her that she should or should not do something because she's a girl. Because you are a girl is never a reason for anything, ever. If we don't place the straitjacket of gender roles on young children, we give them space to reach their full potential. That's her quote. And my question is, full potential for what? to explore the full potential of your fallen humanity, maybe. We're seeing the results of people reaching their full potential without God, aren't we? Right? It's a disaster. These are the ideas that are driving much of the modern philosophy on gender today, along with many, many others. We don't have time, and probably not a very good exercise to talk about all the world's philosophies and the world's ideas about gender. But listen, just our understanding of gender is not driven by modern cultural philosophy. Our idea and understanding of gender is not driven by trends. not by secular or humanistic ideas, certainly not by Hollywood, but by the one who created gender, and listened to me, and celebrated it when he declared it very good. Right? We as Christians aren't moving toward gender neutrality. We're not moving toward gender fluidity. I was talking to some people before the service started about how I'd had an encounter with someone who claimed to be what they said non-binary, meaning they didn't associate with male or female. They were just their gender was kind of fluid, you know, just whatever I guess for that particular day. It was a man, he. See, I don't even know how to talk about it because I'm calling him he. He said he was attracted to women. See, I don't know how you even talk about being non-binary because you still have to talk about men and women and physical attraction. But he was a man who was attracted to women but still loved to paint his fingernails and wear women's blouses and so on and so forth. But you, I mean, you can just... I know I'm preaching to the choir, but how confused and how bizarre and messed up our world is without the clear instruction of the Word of God. Christian, let me just encourage you. Male and female was God's design. We, as Christians, ought to celebrate that, male and female, right? Christian men ought to celebrate all that it means to be masculine, right? And Christian women ought to celebrate everything that it means to be feminine. Praise God for them. God created them, what, male and female. This is Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God created it, right? He created them male and female. And then verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." "And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day." For some reason, the culture that in which we live has decided that male and female are somehow horrible ideas, that there's somehow gender itself is some kind of horrible, dividing kind of idea. No, God created from the very beginning and declared it very good. It pleased God when He looked at all of His creation and declared it so. He celebrated His creation, male and female. It was His design. It wasn't just a matter of biology, by the way. He designed them on purpose to be similar but different from one another. He designed them to complement each other. The man was a loving leader and the woman was a submissive helper. He designed the man with all the masculine characteristics he needed for that role and all the feminine characteristics the woman would need for her role. And folks, listen, we shouldn't apologize to the world for that, for what the Bible teaches. This was God's doing, and it is very good in His eyes. And it ought to be very good in ours as well. For God can't do anything but things that are very good. It makes sense that the creator of gender would know how His creation works and works most effectively. And praise God again, He hasn't left us in the dark. He hasn't left us without instruction. He hasn't left us without some teaching on the subject. It is the Scripture that is informing our thinking about gender and about the specific roles He has designed for male and female. Now, in the context by which we're studying in Ephesians, this is in the context of this Spirit-filled life, right? This Spirit-controlled life. How being filled with the Spirit will affect our fellowship with one another. How being filled with the Spirit will affect our thanksgiving and our worship to God. How being filled with the Spirit will affect our mutual submission to one another, right? The world shrinks back from this idea of submission. It doesn't want to be subject or submissive to anyone, including God. But if we would be Spirit-filled believers, we will be submissive. That's one of the things that we learned there in Ephesians. Don't claim, again, listen, don't claim to be filled with God's Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit, and be a rebel at home or in the church. Or anywhere else, for that matter. I was speaking to a woman, this was several years ago, and about her rebellion, both at home and in our church. And she said, "I don't have to be submissive to anyone except to God." And I wanted to ask her, "Do you pull over when a police gets behind you?" When he turns his blue light on. Listen, the Bible teaches us to be submissive to all governing authorities. Amen? Now, Paul qualifies here in our text. He qualifies the submission. For we are not equally submissive to everyone in the church or in the world. There are unique areas of submission in which God has woven into the fabric of His entire creation. And I'll give you an example. For example, we're to be submissive to human government. Now, if I get behind you, and we're driving down the road, right, and I'm flashing my lights behind you, you are under no obligation by the law to pull over. However, if a police officer gets behind you and he turns his blue light on, you are under obligation, not only by the human law, but by the law of God to pull over, because God has ordained these human governments, these human authorities, right, to have authority over you, right? This is God's design. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Children are be obedient to their parents, right? For this is right, that it may be well with you. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment of promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. I mean, we could argue again, if you just want to keep reading down through Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, we could argue the idea that we're to be submissive to our bosses and the people that we work for. It's talking about bond servants and slaves and masters there, but I think we can make application for people that we work for. It says, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Right? We're to be submissive to our elders in the church. We have elders in the church that we submit to. God has given them responsibility to look out for your souls. And by the way, they're going to give account to God for that as well. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you, it says. And ultimately, listen, we're to be submissive to God, right? Right? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live, the Scripture says. Well, I mean, even with God Himself, there is this idea of submission and headship, even within the Godhead, right? Christ is submissive to the Father, the Bible tells us. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God, speaking of the Father. Let's be clear. Headship and submission is not a matter of those who are privileged and those who are not. Just that in God's economy, there must be order, and God has designed order in the world to reveal something about Himself. Remember, it's all about His glory. All about His glory. Christ is in no way inferior to the Father. Do you understand that? And the Spirit is in no way inferior to the Son. They are co-equal and co-eternal. They are made of the same stuff that God is made of. They possess all of the perfections of God. And yet, even within God, there is this kind of submission, right? Christ to the Father. The Spirit exalting the Son. In the same way, wives are not inferior to their husbands, right? That's the cultural idea. That's a sinful idea. They are equal in their value, and as Pastor Eric said earlier, joint heirs of the promises of God in Christ. But God has designed us differently, to fit in a complementary role with one another. Today I just want to speak to you about a wife's role, or at least introduce it. We're going to take a couple of Sundays at least to talk about this, because I think it's an important issue. Today I want just to talk about this and introduce you to a few words that the Bible uses to describe a woman's role or a wife's role in the home. What has God designed a wife to be or to do? How can she reach, as the Nigerian author spoke just a few moments ago, how can she, that is a wife, reach her full potential? And here it is, by fitting into the role that God has wonderfully designed for her. Listen, I just say this as plain as I know how. There's nothing more lofty than that, for a woman or for a man, to fit into the role that God Himself has designed for us. Right? To be in that place that God has said, This is where I've put you. This is where I've placed you. This is the place that I've designed for you. This is the attitude that you're to have. This is the way that you're conducting yourself. Is there anything more lofty than the place that God has designed for you? I mean, everything else is just inferior to that. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, and it ought to be celebrated by the church, just like God celebrated and declared it good in His original creation. Three words that I want to use to describe the wife's role, and two are found here in Ephesians and one's in Genesis 2. And let me give them to you, and we're just going to be able to talk about one this morning. But the one word is submission. The other word is respect, and the other word is a helper, right? Submission, respect, and a helper. We're going to come back and do a more thorough examination of this particular passage maybe next time if the Lord permits, but we're going to get into it eventually. But we need to define some terms, and we need to look at some words the Bible uses to describe the role of a wife that complements her husband. Now, I know that not all people here are married, and I know that not all people are married, or maybe even will be married. But it is God's design, in other words, the norm for men and women to be married. And so we want to talk about that, and God has designed specific roles in that marriage relationship. And folks, listen, there's a joy in obeying the Scripture, in being the person God has designed you to be. And if you're going to know fuller joy in Christ, ladies, let me encourage you to be God's kind of woman. God's kind of woman. Three words, and let me just begin with the first one here. The word is submission. Submission. You see that word all the way even back there in verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, His body, and is Himself the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That word submission. It is the Greek word hupotasso, a compound word. It means to willingly place oneself under authority. To willingly place oneself under authority. Now here Paul uses it to describe a wife's role in her home. Although she's to be submissive to all in the church, like every church member is supposed to be submissive to the other church members, there is a unique submission to her own husband. Right? She doesn't submit in everything to every husband, but she submits in everything to her own husband. That was important teaching in the sexually charged culture of Ephesus. Now, it's not a submission, by the way, that can be demanded. It's not a submission that can be taken. It's not a submission that should be manipulated, but a submission that is freely given. Now, I want to just pause here and give you a brief history of the submission of the world. Pastor Eric hit on a lot of this in the previous sermon here, so this, some of this will be review. But if we want to go back and look at a brief history of creation's response to submission, let's look at the Satanic Rebellion in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3. Let me read these for you. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. This is just an image of Satan's rebellion, right? And of course we know that he took many of the angels with him in a rebellion. This rebellion continued in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You go back to Genesis 3 and you see the rebellion of Adam and Eve against the authority of God Himself. Eve usurping the authority of her husband, and both usurping the authority of God. This is where radical feminism began, by the way. And this is where male chauvinism began, by the way. This is where the roles of men and women were confused and where the problems began in the home. Before that, it was good. God designed it that way, right? There was peace in the home. There were specific roles in the home. And it wasn't until after sin came into the world through one man's sin into the world, and thus death through sin, the Bible says. It wasn't until after sin entered when the problems began. This attitude was then extended to all mankind. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Paul's indictment on all mankind, both Jew and Gentile, helps us understand man's problem with submission. This is Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, which Pastor Eric quoted earlier. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps, that's snakes, is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is humanity without Christ. We see in the Bible this sort of rebellion against any kind of authority will be intensified in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and the list just goes on and on and on. Now you can understand how submission is not is now misrepresented and misunderstood and rebelled against. And the only thing that people without Christ have is the power to submit, what? To sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? And as a result, there are many wrong ideas about submission. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, the fallen humanity. I mean, we're fallen not only in our morality, we're fallen in our thinking. We're fallen from the very core of our being. Pastor Eric spoke about that, that total depravity of man. And praise be to God, praise be to Christ who begins that work in our hearts to change our thinking, to change our understanding, move us from death to life. Praise be to God for that. As you can imagine now in the world that we live in, this fallen world, this depraved world, the many wrong ideas about submission, particularly submission in the home. And I've already mentioned this one. I just want to talk to you about several wrong ideas about submission before we talk about some general truths about submission. But let me just mention some wrong ideas here. Here's one. Number one, the wife is inferior to a husband. Many people would like to defend that idea, but it's not true. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God, right? Yes. Men and women, praise be to God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. You are male or female. If you're a Christian today, you are the recipients of the same grace. Isn't that wonderful? Another wrong idea about submission in our world is that the husband is infallible. And I say that because people would never say, well, they would never say he's perfect, but they would say that because he's the head of the house, whatever he says goes. Whatever he says, the wife needs to obey, right? No matter whether it's right or wrong, whatever. The husband is infallible. He's without error. He's above reproach. And listen, we know that is not true from personal experience. We don't have to go to Scripture in this one, right? You know. You live with these men, ladies, right? You know. He's not infallible. As wonderful as you may be, men, you are not without much error. We clearly outline man's fallibility from the text that we read earlier. Even as blood-bought, redeemed men, we're still quite flawed, are we not? Yes. Yeah. God is, by the way, God is the only authority who never makes mistakes. And He sets up the authorities that are over us in the Lord. But God never gives all authority to any human leadership. A husband has no authority to ask his wife to sin. Can we be clear about that? The husband has no authority to ask his wife to sin. Your highest authority is God. But even if you're living with a sinful husband, there is a way in which you can handle yourself that shows a submission to those in authority, all the while obeying God. If you want some examples, just go back and read the story of Daniel or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you prefer, right? They defied the governing authorities, the king, with an attitude of submission to that authority. Read through the book of Acts. Watch the apostles as they kept preaching Jesus, right? And they were opposed. And the governing authorities came to them and said, listen, shut up. Quit preaching about the Lord, right? Quit preaching of this Jesus. And they were put in prison, and some of them were stoned, and some of them were killed, right? All the while, this is what they said, shall we obey God or man? Right? They had a higher authority. At the same time, there was an attitude by which they presented a submission to all the governing authorities. Here the Scripture says in chapter 5, verse 22 and following, that wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Your husband represents Christ to you. Right? Not perfectly, but Christ has placed him there as he does all governing authorities. So I just wanted to remind you of that. The husband is not infallible, right? He's very flawed, and yet Christ has placed him there. Number three, there's another wrong idea about submission. That the wife cannot think for herself or should not speak. The wife cannot think for herself or should not speak. Now, we've already just blown that idea out of the water from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." Now, this wasn't, listen, a command just to the men. And looking at the context in verse 16, wives have a very vital role in helping the church be more like Christ, including their husbands. Verse 16 of that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, "...from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." That's male and female, husbands and wives, right? Along with that false idea is a whole another just connecting kind of idea that the wife has no influence. The wife has no influence. It's just more nonsense. If you want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct." I mean, what a tremendous and vital influence submissive wives have even on disobedient husbands. A godly lifestyle, listen, is a great influence. Amen?
Yes.
A godly lifestyle is a tremendous influence. Consider young Pastor Timothy's life. Now, young Pastor Timothy was there in 2 Timothy, was pastoring, preaching there in the city of Ephesus, by the way. And evidently had become timid or fearful in some way. Paul writes to encourage him. And when Paul thought about how he can encourage this young pastor, he didn't appeal to Timothy's father. He appealed to his grandmother and his mother. Right? Here's what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. These were some women who had tremendous, tremendous influence on others. Well, what does the Bible say about submission? And I just want to just kind of take the rest of our time and talk about what the Bible says about submission. It is, guys, before you can get into it, it is God's plan for function and for order, right? It's God's plan for function and for order. What does the Bible say about submission? Let me just give you some general truths. Number one, as we said earlier, it's a military term to voluntarily arrange yourself in rank under. To voluntarily, and that's an act of your will, to voluntarily arrange yourself in rank under. The same idea is kind of shared in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, using this word submission. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." So it's this general, this term, a military term that was meant to willingly, an act of your own will, arrange yourself in rank under. Number two, it's a part of a Spirit-filled life of all believers. Submission is a part of a Spirit-filled life of all believers, whether you're a wife or not. Chapter 5, verse 21, once again, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Remember, that's one of those Greek participles that reflects back to this command back in verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." How are we filled with the Spirit, or what does being filled with the Spirit look like? Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So submission is part of this Spirit-filled life for all of believers. Number three, it's a proper attitude toward God. It's a proper attitude toward God. Ladies, just wives, if I can encourage you, just a moment, again from the scripture there in verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Just backing up to verse 23, to verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You see that? As to the Lord. It's a proper attitude towards God, toward the Lord, specifically the Lord Christ here. Lord implies that He has those, that's Christ, He has those who are His subjects. Right? Those who are under His authority. By the way, it's the way that all of us came into the kingdom, was it not? We confess our faith in the Lord Jesus. So submission is a proper attitude toward the Lord. Fourthly, it's a proof of a wife's love for her Lord and for her husband. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's a proof of a wife's love for her Lord and for her husband. Number five, submission for a wife is a way to be truly beautiful. It's a way to be truly beautiful. Listen, you want to be beautiful inside and out. Learn to be submissive. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person. Listen to that. The hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty. Isn't that beautiful? Imperishable beauty. Beauty that can't be killed. The imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. But this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I always like to quote that one to Tanya. Still not taken. It's just still not working. Make a note of that. That's a little L-O-R-D, by the way. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Submission for a wife is a way to be truly beautiful. I do, in all sincerity, and I have a submissive wife, and I praise God for that. But I pray that for Tanya, that God would continue to give her a quiet and gentle spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I do pray that for my wife. Next. Your submission is a picture of the church being submissive to Christ. Wives, your submission is a picture of the church being submissive to Christ. And we're going to talk about this more as we go, but let me just mention it in passing and give you the truth, and we'll come back and visit it later. Just that whole section there, this whole beautiful picture between the church's relationship to Christ, the loving love relationship between Christ and His church, and the submissive relationship between church and Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Listen, I just want to tell you, there's this beautiful illustration in your marriage relationship as you submit to your husband that's saying something to the unbelieving world about the relationship between Christ and His church. It's a beautiful and wonderful illustration. Let me encourage you, you don't want to mess it up by a bad attitude at home. Right? You don't want to mess that up. It's a beautiful, wonderful relationship. It's an important illustration. It points to a deeper spiritual truth. We don't want to lie to the world about Christ. We don't want to lie to the world about the church. It's a bad attitude at home certainly does that. Next. If you want to know what it looks like, submission, right? If you want to know what it looks like, then look no further than to Christ Himself. I mean, He perfectly demonstrates godly submission. Does He not? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let me just give you a couple of passages here. One you're very familiar with. Have this mind among yourselves. This is not just for wives, but for husbands as well, and for all of us who are believers. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, you couldn't get any higher than Jesus. I mean, He's God, right? He's the very form of God. And yet He emptied Himself, right? He not giving up His perfections, not giving up His attributes, but He humbled Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point, how far? To the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. This was Christ's attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and following. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. But He was reviled. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. There's the attitude of a Spirit-filled wife, by the way. The attitude of a Spirit-filled wife. So wives, if you would be Spirit-filled, if you would be Spirit-controlled, if you would be like Christ, be submissive to your own husbands. If you would be joyful, if you would fulfill your highest potential, then be like Christ. Be who God has designed you to be. Be submissive. You know, people. I hear people all say, Pastor, they'll come up to me after a message like this sometimes and say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm dealing with at home. You don't understand how hard this man is to live with. Well, I'm a man. I get it from that perspective. But let me just kind of remind you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? All things are possible with God. Trust the One who has placed this husband in authority over you, right? Trust Christ. Now, obviously, we're not answering every question and dealing with every issue that someone may face at home. And certainly, if you have issues and stuff that needs to be dealt with, we would love to help you and love to sit down with you and work through some of those things. But listen, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Trust Christ. Be like Christ. Fulfill your highest potential by being like Him. Well, that's my encouragement for you. We'll come back to this next time if the Lord permits. Father, thank You for Your love and Your Word, Your truth. Lord, I pray for the wives that are here, that, Lord, they would exhibit, Lord, in their homes and in our church, Lord, an attitude of submission. And I pray that for all of us, Father, that we would be a submissive people, a humble people, that we would continually, Lord, look out for the interests of others more than our own interests, that we would, Lord, submit ourselves to You first and foremost, and that we would submit to one another. I pray specifically, Lord, in homes, that You would help the wives. Lord, maybe they're struggling with a disobedient husband. I pray for them, Father, that they may conduct themselves in a way and manner that pleases You with a quiet and gentle spirit, Lord, which was very precious in Your sight. And Lord, they would adorn themselves, Lord, with an inner beauty, Lord, that comes from You. Lord, You would work in them such a work that You would help them to endure the difficulties and the trials that they may face in their homes, and to conduct themselves, God, in a way and manner that pleases You, honors You, just like Sarah and the women of old, Lord, who trusted You. I pray, Father, for our ladies, our wives here. Lord, help them to trust Christ, to trust You, God, the One who makes all things possible, the One for whom nothing is too hard. God, You are good, and You are powerful, and You are working all things for Your glory and Your purposes, all things together for good to those who love You, to those who are called according to Your purpose. So, Lord, even in a difficult situation at home, pray that You might be using that to grow our wives to be the people, God, that You long for them to be and are working toward. Father, thank You for being so good to us and giving us instruction from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray.